everybody out there. Welcome back to a great edition of Talking Tigs. I am Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. We got the last pod before LSU's bowl game against Baylor tomorrow afternoon. We'll have this pod ready for you before then. And other bowl games to get into. Lots of good stuff leading up to this week. Man, it's like after that first round of the playoffs, I feel like the bowl games got really good. I think we even set a record twice, actually, for longest bowl game ever. We had like three, four, five overtimes. A lot of other games also. And, of course, we have the second round of the playoffs on New Year's Day kicking off. Maybe I have some portal news, too. Might dip into that a little bit later. But before we do, I want to check in with you guys. Hope you both had a great Christmas. I did. Had some Cajun family in the house for Christmas Day. My mom came to visit, which was nice. But other than that, man, I'm excited about tomorrow. And I'm going to cruise on into New Year's Day, which will be packed with a lot of game watching. What about you?
Agreed. Same here. Had a good Christmas. Watched a lot of bowl games. Enjoyed that. And I'm excited to excited to see LSU play in the Texas Bowl. So, you know, happy to be talking about it with you. And let's get into it.
Yep. Was back in Louisiana over the Christmas break for the last 2 weeks, which was good. Got to see some family, exchange gifts, and all the festivities that go with that. So really enjoyed it. Just touched back down in Florida about an hour ago. We'll be watching LSU on the television tomorrow, New Year's Eve. That's kind of the big plan, is football both tomorrow and on New Year's Day. So maybe there'll be some fireworks on the scoreboard as well as in real life. So ready for LSU plus round two of these playoffs here.
Yeah, we get the Texas Bowl again. I'm looking forward to it. It's against Baylor. I mean, they're not traveling far. We aren't really traveling that far either. I mean, Houston's kind of our home away from home, right?
Yeah. So, a lot of grads, a lot of LSU grads in Houston.
Yeah, second outside of out of Louisiana, right? Like the largest outside of the state, Louisiana.
I think that's right. I know just from personal experience, like, I mean, half of our graduating class probably went to Houston.
Pretty much, yeah. Business school. The kind of finance hub, too, for the South.
Oh, oil and gas, too, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I imagine that would have been the better outcome, because it almost ended up that we could have been playing USC in the, guess what, the Las Vegas Bowl to start and in the season. I mean, there's like a very minute part of me that would have actually wanted that, just so we could maybe get redemption. But I don't think Tigers fans would have been as thrilled to have to go back out to Vegas for a bowl game against the same team they started the year with. It was actually, you know, interesting game. A&M had them in that first half, and then they lost it, and USC came back and won it. So I'm not happy to see the Goobs lose, but wow. I don't know. That was kind of like LSU's game, right? Like it kind of came down to the wire, but happy to be in the Texas Bowl. And I don't know. It seems like a pretty evenly matched bowl game. We're both 8-4. The interesting part is we're going to be facing our former defensive coordinator with Dave Aranda. I don't know. I felt like they kind of shot off pretty quickly once he got over there, right? Like they were really good there, maybe even in,
I think they won the Big 12, right?
Right, exactly. Like he only had two losses that 1 year, so they look really good. Yeah, it's kind of tapered off since then, but he's 8-4. We're 8-4. Like, what, you know, who can judge him for that? So, basing off against him, I know some players transferred there. I don't know if they're still at Baylor, but I don't know. What's your first impressions? Because obviously we're not the same team we started this season with, but for all intents and purposes, like most of the team's still intact. We've lost guys due to injury, transfers, whatever, but at least it's not like playing Kansas State where we had to recruit a wide receiver to play quarterback. So I feel pretty good about our chances, but what do you say, Tom?
I mean, I think that I think you're right. We're not the same team that we were at the beginning of the season. You know, we obviously improved, but also we're not the same team we were at the end of the season, because we're going to have significant, you know, people sitting out with Kyron Lacy, Mason Taylor, CJ Daniels, and then also Will Campbell and Emory Jones sitting out for the NFL draft. And that's just on the offensive side of the ball. So I feel like, I mean, we're going to have our signal caller there, which is going to be big. I think that it's a, you know, it'll be a good gut check for next year. Right now, as I'm seeing it, Baylor's favored by 4 points, which I was a little bit surprised by.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, my gut tells me LSU is going to be able to take care of them. I think if we struggle, it's going to be because of just so much lack of depth, or not lack of depth, but so much, so many younger, inexperienced guys having to step up for this one game. But as we've seen in the past, you give LSU, extended practice, for bowl practice. I mean, I think that it's, I think that we're liable to beat expectations and probably take care of business.
Yeah, I agree a lot with what you said. This could be a situation of motivation, which often comes into play a lot in these bowl games, where teams have differing expectations going into the season, and then they get matched in some kind of unusual setups in the bowl games. And we saw that in some of these past games where small schools are like Toledo beating Pitt in 6 overtimes. I was at a Christmas gathering with family when that game was going on, and all of a sudden we all became the biggest Toledo Rockets football fans ever. Like, it just kept going more and more overtimes. But back to LSU, 8-4 record for Baylor is pretty good for them. That's a nice season, solid for Dave Aranda. Meanwhile, 8-4 for LSU is kind of towards the floor of what our fans are hoping for. So it's a little bit of a burnout towards the end of the season for LSU. Meanwhile, Baylor's been pretty hot. They won their last 6 games of the regular season. They've been playing good football on both sides of the ball. And Dave Aranda, strong defensive mind for LSU. He'll have his defense ready to go. Meanwhile, their offense is a lot more kind of run-focused than LSU. They had, I think, almost 2 1,000-yard rushers on the season. Meanwhile, LSU kind of struggled in the run game. So kind of varying points of attack there. I do think it'll be a tough matchup for LSU. We've seen LSU kind of struggle in some recent bowl games when we got whopped by Kansas State a few years ago, admittedly with a wide receiver playing quarterback. And then was it last year against Wisconsin where Nussmeier had to lead a big comeback to win that one. Talent-wise, LSU is the better team. I don't think that's too questionable, but a lot of that talent is sitting out, unfortunately, especially on offense. So it'll be a big test for some of these backups, whether they can come in and make an immediate impact. I guess we don't have to get into score predictions right away, but I do think LSU will win, but it could be definitely close. And that's why Baylor is favored by a few points at least.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the fact that it's not a home game for them, but it's much closer to their home than ours.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say if you look at Baylor, what they've done this year, yeah, we have the same record, but I mean, they pretty much beat who they were definitely should have beaten and lost to you. You know, you thought they might have like that. I know they lost Utah's like bad now, but at least they were ranked when they played them and they lost. And then their other losses are Colorado, BYU, and Iowa State, who, you know, the last two, I know are still ranked. Colorado is not, but yeah, man, it definitely depends how you finish the season. And Colorado did not look good in the bowl game. Iowa State, however, did. It was one of those thrilling games with them. And man, Tommy kind of goes back to your Heisman pick. Didn't even finish the game, but I guess we should probably wait and get into that. But it just,
oh, I know.
It reminded me of it. But anyway, going back to that, that's who Baylor lost to. Those teams that are all either ranked or are still ranked. So
yeah,
pretty formidable. We know Dave Aranda somewhat. I mean, we know what his defense is going to look like. But yeah, we have Nuss. Who knows if they've faced somebody like that this year? We don't have Kyron Lacy, but we have other guys. We have guys that have been waiting. Too bad some of these guys did transfer out already, because man, they could have got some good playing time this year and next year. Maybe that's why we got some receivers in the portals, because we knew guys were leaving, or vice versa. But like you
said, I think that bowl games, you know, in today's world with the portal and with sitting out being so popular and so common, you know, I mean, it's almost like a spring game in that you're, you know, you don't know exactly what you're going to see. Like we have a decent idea of how Nussmeier is going to play, of how, you know, most of this defense is going to play. But there's going to be a lot of holes to fill. And so I'm excited to, I'm just ready to see what LSU can put on the field. And I'm hoping we can put a competitive product out.
Yeah. And the end result doesn't matter that much. I would say win or lose, really, as long as we don't go out there and just get throttled, then it'll be okay. As long as we're kind of competitive in the realm, then it can be a win, as long as we see some good flashes from these younger players. And I guess as long as Nussmeier doesn't get hurt again as well, since he's been sticking in the game, a win obviously would be nice, but it's not going to move the needle too much if we're Texas Bowl champs or not, as long as we can kind of build off of that working into next year, which, given these transfer portal additions and some players coming back, could be a make or break year for Brian Kelly.
The eye test too, right? Like if it looks like, man, LSU thoroughly dominated like we did against Purdue, right? That boded well, I think, for us for the next season. Just makes you feel good to kind of end the year. And it is the last day of the year. So whatever happens, yes, we're going to turn the page the very next day and start anew, as we always do. But I tend to think that, like, winning well in a bowl game just kind of sets you up to start the next year with a better vibe. I'd say finish strong. I think they will, but I don't know. With the depleted roster, I think we have our essential cogs, right? As long as we can outscore them. And we have the guys to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Aaron Anderson, I think, will be a key. I think we need him to have a big game. I think we're going to need to establish the run with Caden Durham. All the games that we've been very successful, you know, he has been kind of the catalyst for that. So I think that especially with some of our, you know, big threat wide receivers not opting out to go on the NFL draft, I think we need some help from our freshman phenom running back.
Yep. And then the lack of Mason Taylor in the tight end passing game could be an impact as well, and CJ Daniels there, and kind of some of the short yardage working situations for Nussmeier, safety valve type of passes. Maybe somebody can make a step up, Tre'Davious Green at the tight end position, or we could even see some guys at wide receiver who have hardly played all year, like Chris Hilton, who's had a couple of nice touchdowns in that game against Oklahoma. But other than that, he didn't really flash too much. Maybe he can come back healthy. And then you mentioned Caden Durham. He was a little bit banged up towards the end of the season. He's had almost a month off now. So if we can get him back to the explosive level he was towards the beginning of the season, then that would be a big boost in kind of offsetting some of those losses that we've had.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you got Josh Williams last game. You got to think he's going to want to go out there and just
leave it all on the field.
Yeah, he deserves a touchdown after a long run at LSU.
Was he
on the national championship team 2019? Is this his sixth year? I don't know if he was on.
I don't think he was on that team. Do you?
Because I know John Emery was, but and then he went out with an injury.
Yeah,
a long time ago.
Maybe now is the time to toss out a score. What did they have? Oh, you said Baylor was favored by 4.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. 3.5 with an over-under of 60. So they're kind of predicting, was that Baylor 30, LSU, or no, Baylor 32, LSU 28, something like that.
Something like that.
They've scored at or near 30 pretty much in every game, whether they won or lost. So that's possible. But I don't know, do you guys have something already? I was going to say maybe LSU 32, Baylor 28.
I think points are going to be a little bit tougher to scratch up for LSU, given the depletion we have on offense. And hopefully our defense can make up for that and can keep the score a little bit lower than Vegas predicts. I think LSU will come back in the end, maybe like we saw last year against Wisconsin. So I'm going to go LSU 27, Baylor 24.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I think that I see LSU winning, but I think it's going to be a more high scoring game from both teams. I don't think our defense is going to be able to you know, well, I think that our defense is going to be our defense, and I think that Nussmeier is going to have to win it in a gunslinger type fashion to, you know, set the tone for his last year at LSU. So I'm going to pick LSU to win 42-38 in kind of one of those situations where his last one with the ball wins.
Right.
Very nice.
And there's still some other games tomorrow. I mean, it starts with Alabama and Michigan. I think Missouri just finished up right now. They beat Iowa 1-3. So, yeah, what else you guys have for the other games going?
In the non-playoff games?
Right, tomorrow.
I mean, I'll be checking out Alabama, Michigan. I mean, I'm excited about, obviously, our game. South Carolina, Illinois is another one where, one, they're playing in the Cheez-It Bowl, which is kind of cool. I mean, we've had good luck at the Cheez-It Bowl. So South Carolina, a team that, you know, is probably looking on the outside into the playoffs saying, like, man, we could have given some of these people a game. We've been a little bit more competitive. But then, you know, like than an Indiana or an SMU. But regardless, I'm excited about those. But I mean, these playoff games, this playoff slate we have coming up tomorrow and then on New Year's Day, pretty exciting.
Yeah, in terms of the non-playoff games, we got Alabama versus Michigan tomorrow, South Carolina versus Illinois that you mentioned, and then after the playoffs on January 2nd, Duke versus Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl. Maybe it's some kind of SEC homer bias, but I feel that South Carolina, Alabama, and Ole Miss are all going to try and lay the whooping on their opponents because they were kind of fringe playoff teams that got kind of left out in the cold, and they saw teams like SMU and Indiana getting beat up, so they're going to try and prove that the SEC is really the best and should have deserved at least one or more of those spots towards the back half of the playoff. So maybe there'll be some big blowouts there. But yeah, the playoff, I guess you call it quarterfinals now, we're into the actual bowls themselves should be fun. I was flying out of New Orleans today, and there was a lot of Notre Dame people arriving. I saw some of the Notre Dame cheerleading squad walking through the terminal. So they're getting ready to party down at the Sugar Bowl.
Yep. And you know what? You can't spell sugar without UGA.
That's a pretty good one.
In the right bowl. Now the other one, man, the playoff game that's tomorrow, Penn State at Boise State. I think that'll be really good. I'd love to see Boise State running the ball against Penn State, who's, you know, for argument's sake, a pretty good defense as far as Big Ten goes. Now the other thing I was going to mention is Louisville at Washington. That's even more interesting to me now because as far as this year's bowl games have gone, the ACC is pretty much ASS. Like, they are basically winless, right? Like, they are winless. They have Louisville and Duke and Virginia Tech, and that's pretty much all their hopes are on them because they haven't won a game, which is pretty sad. So I thought that was definitely worth mentioning. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on that, but man, ACC's down bad this year.
And they really are. I mean, they kind of, you know, they squeaked in to the playoff. They ended up with two teams in the playoff, and I mean, we saw how it went for SMU. I think it's probably going to go. And then we saw how it went for Clemson. So that kind of sets the tone at the top. And I've watched a few ACC you know teams play. Obviously the Pop-Tart Bowl with Miami, kind of an embarrassment for them. I think you're right, Scott. I think you're onto something. North Carolina, another one that they look terrible against who'd they play? UConn in the Wasabi Bowl.
Wasabi.
So I think you're onto something about this ACC being ASS.
Right.
Other than that, what are y'all looking at in the playoff games? I think, yeah, in the first game, Penn State versus Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl, it would be cool to see Boise kind of pull the upset and make the Cinderella run. I think Penn State overall, top to bottom, is a better football team than them, though, so I see Penn State taking care of business. Texas versus Arizona State, kind of a similar story. Even though Texas is the 5 seed, Arizona 4, I think everyone kind of universally agrees that Texas is better, and I had them as my preseason national champ, so I think they'll keep on rolling. I think what most people are looking forward to is Ohio State-Oregon rematch of the game decided by 1 point early in the season. Ohio State actually favored in this one by a couple points, but I think the Ducks they're having kind of a magical season, so I'm going to go with them keeping their number one hopes alive. And then lastly, the final game on New Year's Day, Notre Dame versus Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Maybe the most intriguing matchup between two pretty different teams. Yep. Georgia without their starting quarterback and Notre Dame kind of playing hot. I guess it might be SEC homerism again, but I'm going to have to go with Georgia in that one.
No, I think you're right. I think it was interesting. I don't know if you saw today, Kirby Smart gave an interview. He talked about what he likes about Gunnar Stockton as quarterback. He said, I think he makes our entire team better. He makes our entire team better and they play harder for him when he's in quarterback, which I think is kind of interesting because a little bit of a slight at Carson Beck, who I think was never, I mean, we talked about it on this podcast. I don't think he was ever the guy. I don't think he was ever him for Georgia. Interesting to definitely match up. I like Georgia in that one. You know, for me, this Rose Bowl game is a little bit of a can't lose because I filled out a playoff bracket. I picked Oregon to win, but my preseason national championship pick was Ohio State. So it's kind of a can't lose for me. But I like Oregon to take care of business. I think they've been the most complete team all year, and I think that we've seen Ryan Day. Sometimes the lights just get a little too bright for him. I think back to the playoff game against Clemson. It came down to the wire, but they Clemson eked it out and ended up playing against us. So I like Oregon. And then I think on the other two, I think Texas is probably going to run away with the Peach Bowl, but I did take Boise State to win against Penn State. I generally agree with you that I think that Penn State is probably a more complete team, but I'm just hoping for Ginty to just run all over them. I think Penn State is another one where we've seen James Franklin not be able to live up to the bright lights of a really, really meaningful game. So I'm going with the Broncos.
Ooh. I think the Broncos could surprise also just because
also. And like we said last week, they're in the Fiesta Bowl, which is a Boise State. That puts the cherry on top.
History is repeating itself. The only other one I'm not sure about is Texas Arizona State. I understand what you guys are saying or would say about Texas. I don't know. I feel like no one's given Arizona State any mind whatsoever this whole year. I mean, they're good. So I don't know. I think maybe that's the one that surprises. I think everyone would like to see Boise State surprising, but as far as like, wow, we didn't see that happening, I think would maybe be Arizona State. I don't know, man. Ohio State's kind of up and down for me. They looked great, against Indiana in their playoff game, just completely demolished them, whereas they kind of looked just kind of pedestrian in other games this season. So maybe they found their stride. For Ryan Day's sake, it is the Rose Bowl. They love playing there. The fans definitely show out. I mean, so does Oregon's. It's just down the coast from them. So I think that could be another, one possession game. I feel like Oregon will probably eke them out again, though. As far as the Georgia, how could you count out the Dogs after the games they've had this year? How could you bet against them? Give us a second string guy. Let's just make it interesting for America. Otherwise, Georgia would just completely demolish him in the show. Just give us a second string guy, and we'll see what happens. That's what's happening. So I'll go Dogs, obviously. But I won't say by how much. They'll probably win by 13-10 or something.
I just want some close games after the first weekend's blowout fest. Yeah, just give me some competition down the stretch, game-winning drives, field goal doink to lose the game, something like that.
Right. Exactly. It's going to be a great week. Can't wait to record next time, too, just to recap everything that's happened. That's not the only thing that's going on. At least it wasn't until, the 28th, because now the portal is officially closed. If you were going to make a move, you would have announced by now. But LSU did finish up well. I mean, we picked up another, two, I think, since we had last recorded. Highlight being Josh Thompson, which is an offensive lineman from Northwestern, another guy that we really needed. He's really just a graduate transfer, so he has 1 year of eligibility left, and we'll gladly take it because he's got some big shoes to fill, basically. I don't know what he's going to play. I think he could play either, guard or tackle based off of what he's done, but a good get, something else, a position of need. Goes back to what we said last week. We missed out on Bryce, but, now we're filling out the rest of the team with what money we do have.
Yeah.
And again, nobody else transferred out. So I think we have what we have, and we know what we got moving forward. But welcome aboard, right?
Yes, we lost three starters on the offensive line between Will Campbell, Emory Jones, and Garrett Dellinger. So we already got one of the transfer, Braylon Moore from Virginia Tech, and now Josh Thompson from Northwestern. And even if these aren't five-star high school prospects, I mean, they're Power 5 starting experience. And so we'll see what the backups can do tomorrow in the Texas Bowl, but having veteran leadership there is definitely appreciated. And then the bigger news, I would say, arguably, is LSU star Harold Perkins making his much-anticipated decision about whether to stay or go to the draft. So that one's, I think, worthy of some discussion.
What did he decide?
Harold Perkins.
Yeah, I didn't know if you'd said it. Yeah.
The anticipation, but yeah, he's staying. He's coming back to LSU for one more ride, and hopefully it'll be a success after a kind of dynamic freshman year, good sophomore season. But then, this year hurt for much of the year and really kind of sliding a little bit on draft boards, unfortunately. So hopefully it'll be a return to form for Mr. Perkins, and he can bolster up this defense.
Man, Blake Baker has, from he's got 8 months now. He needs to figure out how to use this man. And Harold Perkins needs to be okay with, with doing whatever it takes to get in the mix, because, he needs to, freshman year was really his dynamic year. He was see ball, get ball, go tackle the guy with the ball. Then after that, again, and I understood it. We talked about it on this podcast, but they wanted to give him a position. They wanted to make him into a inside linebacker for the NFL. It didn't work. And, I was watching, I don't know if y'all were watching watching football last night on the NFL, but you look at a guy like Will Anderson, that was somebody who I thought, oh, this is going to be, this is Harold Perkins is the next Will Anderson. He's going to be our Will Anderson. It just hasn't panned out because I think it's, partially maybe his fault, but also because we haven't put him in the position to make plays over and over. And so we really, Blake Baker, that needs to be, agenda item 1, 2, and 3 is figuring out where to put him and how to get him into the mix.
Question though, do you think it has anything to do with size? Because he, that first year, he seemed like a honey badger type player, but yeah. I don't know, is he really I don't see him as big as Devin White or maybe some of these other guys we've had. So yeah, it is finding that position for him. I mean, on the edge coming in nickel, we don't want to limit him because he's a great player, but yeah, they've got to find some place to put him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is. I mean, I know that they worked on, and I mean, they tried to bulk him up to play offensive line, and I remember talking to some people, in football, and they were, saying, "Man, I don't." I mean, this is all from outside looking in, but I just don't know if that weight looked good on him. Like, I don't know if he put on good weight. I think you might be onto something putting him at that, you know, it's like Major Burns played at that star position a little bit this year, that, you know, it's kind of like it's kind of like a nickel, but it's a safety that kind of, it has more free range and, you know, gets in there and fills gaps and everything. Maybe it's putting him in more of a safety type, you know, but off, you know, right on the line kind of, or not on the line, but close to the ball. And blitzing him and putting him in special packages like that. But I don't know. I don't know the answer. I just know they got to figure something out.
Right. Cause there was a lot of discussion after Perkins got injured this year. And then it almost seemed that our defense got better without him on the field, which is kind of a scary thing to say when you're rejoicing the Perkins coming back. But the flashes that he has shown and the athleticism and playmaking ability, he's pretty much too good to keep off the field in that sense. So, like you said, Tommy, it's hard to say exactly he should do this or play in this position, but you know, like, we kind of need him out there to do something for us. And so that's the job of the coaches, Blake Baker and Brian Kelly, to figure out exactly what that is. And there's been calls for him to not be an every down linebacker, kind of work in some special packages, more likely passing plays where he can get after the quarterback and make something happen. That seems somewhat reasonable to me, and also kind of keep him fresh to where he can make those plays. And then you let guys more like Whit Weeks. Well, Greg Penn is leaving, but Whit Weeks will be back, kind of be that run stopper, kind of all over the field linebacker that Perkins showed he is maybe not his forte. So it'll be interesting to see how they play off each other next year. But either way, I think this is a plus for LSU overall, just to even at least have the threat of Perkins kind of causing some problems and making the other team game plan for him.
He's somebody you got to account for, right? Like, having him on the field now, I mean, I think you're right about, it did feel like our defense kind of got a little bit more, more of a, I would say it was more of a single unit. We were, you know, we were all, it felt like they were all, you know, working together better, because I think that with him on the field this year, a lot of our defense was called just to like put him in position to make plays solely. Whereas when he got injured, I think it became more of, okay, we're going to, you know, just try to, game plan out the best
for
defense.
The offense we're facing.
Exactly. So I think, I think that it's just going to be critical for us next year. And if we're going to compete at the level that I think LSU fans want us to, and that Brian Kelly is promising with the receipts and the CU and the national championship, he's going to have to be a star defensive playmaker for us.
Yep. And at the same time, it's like, how could you leave Whit Weeks just sitting on the sideline, just, you know, with his hands crossed, just – I did, you know, it's basically like you said, after Perkins was out for the year, like that's when the defense kind of, I mean, because they had to, but it's like seeing what the guy can do. It's like, how do you keep him on the sideline? And you definitely don't want to happen, because you don't want him to transfer either. But I know they'll find a way to get everybody in, even though we do have like another wing of the Weeks family joining the Tigers. So, I mean, it's, we could probably field a whole defense before with the Weeks family if they have more coming before it's all said and done. But we digress. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of other good guys coming back. And speaking as far as getting your best talent on the field, we've already got some, like, that are committed to LSU that are on the field. Too bad they can't play tomorrow. But, like, Harlan Berry, DJ Pickett. I almost said Kenny Pickett because I was watching the Eagles game yesterday. Different Pickett, though. But DJ Pickett, like, they're already practicing. I think there was an offensive lineman, too. Was it Kern? But there was another early enrollee at LSU that is already practicing. And, you know, like you said, it goes back to those, you know, the days of, gosh, it was only, what, 5 years ago. I think Stingley started practicing early, too.
Yeah.
With the bowl prep. So, love to see it. Give it to us. Give us those highlight videos too. But that's already happening. So, I'm excited for next fall already. But yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I think we'll come out with a win, which will only help us next fall. Anything else on football, or did we cover it?
I think that's a good wrap up. Big day for LSU tomorrow, well, and the last day of the year.
Yeah, I did have one question for you guys, though. Since, well, you know, NFL playoffs are about to be upon us, Saints are out, which leaves me as just a uninvested appreciation, you know, appreciator of and watcher of football. Who am I going to cheer for now? I don't know. You got plenty of options. You could go with the Bengals, Joey B, Jamar Chase. Of course, there's the Vikings trying to set history there. They got Jay Jettis, Sam Darnold making a second name for himself with his second go around. I don't know. There's the upstart Buccaneers. There's I don't know. Who do you pick? Do you go with the Chiefs? Do you go with the safe pick? Or are you like, you know what? I'm tired of seeing those guys. I want to see Josh Allen and the Bills do something.
Are you saying who do you root for, or who do you think's going to win it?
Well, I'll say this. I'll give you two options. Who do you root for? Who are you putting your money on?
Money on the Bills and rooting for, obviously, the Bengals. Especially after – I don't know if you watched that game, you know, that Joe had on Saturday, but how can you watch that and not be all right in on this guy?
Yeah. Yeah, the Bengals are still in the playoff hunt, I think, by the slimmest of margins. I know they need to win out.
They need to win, and then they need and get like some time three losses.
Yeah, so they're not completely eliminated, but it's going to be tough. The alternative for a lot of people is the Washington, not football team anymore, Commanders. Redskins, but Commanders. They won on Sunday Night Football. Jane Daniels led another overtime comeback and put a dart on Zach Ertz to win that one. That was a fun drive. And so I think that's where a lot of allegiances are aligned. They're a fun team to watch. As far as who I think will win, I kind of like the Detroit Lions, as crazy it is to put money on the Detroit Lions in postseason NFL football. They've been playing really good top to bottom, and they seem like they've just kind of got the mojo this year. So a lot of good teams. A lot of good teams and a lot of bad teams in the NFL. Like, there's a lot of teams that are like 4-13 and such, including the Saints, who lost a stinker to the Raiders. That was bad. Although not quite bad enough to get a top pick. Who knows what they're going to do, but I see a new quarterback in their future.
Right. New quarterback, maybe, well, definitely and probably a new coach. Remains to be seen who that could be. As far as who I would love to win, I guess I'm kind of torn. I could go in several different directions. I think I'd probably love to see the Redskins just to see what Jaden Daniels can do, since it's his first year. And like, they weren't really doing anything last year, and now he's led them to the playoffs. And it would just be very entertaining to see him just finding ways to win throughout the playoffs. As far as my money, I don't know. I think it would depend on who wins next week between the Lions and the Vikings, because whoever gets that is the number one seed. They have home advantage throughout the playoffs. Both are in a dome. I'd say either one of those would probably be the favorite to at least represent the NFC. My smart money would be on the Chiefs, because it's obviously the ref tanking for them. As the conspiracy goes... Kind of joking, but, you know, it is interesting how so many calls seem to just get unnoticed if it's against the Chiefs. But anyway, I don't know. It's like, but literally, how do you vote against, how do you bet against them at this point, you know?
They find a way to win.
Exactly. So that's who my smart money is on. But anywho, anything else from you guys? Because all I wanted to do was simply mention that basketball is still going. The non-conference schedule is over for men and women's. Men finished out pretty good, finished out 11-2, 9-0 at the PMAC. They will start their conference slate on, next Saturday, actually, on the 4th against Vanderbilt. And they look pretty good. Again, it's early in the season. We got the rest of the SEC schedule, but women's basketball is still unbeaten. They will face Arkansas Thursday for their first conference game. Just wanted to mention that because it's ongoing. I know we're going to dive right into that as soon as LSU football and the playoffs are wrapped up. But just making you listeners aware that we're keeping track. I don't know. Have you guys had a chance to watch any of that or see anything related to the
draft? I've seen a little bit, but I've not paid attention to the McMinn yet.
Yeah, I know both men's and women's teams have pretty horrendous strength of schedule. Like they've been playing some pretty bad teams, which may have kind of artificially inflated some of these records, and that tougher times are ahead when the SEC slate comes around. So LSU women obviously have high expectations. Men, if they make the tournament, that's kind of a dream come true for Matt McMahon. But just to put up a little bit of a fight in the SEC will be a win. So hopefully they can at least accomplish that.
Hopefully. I mean, they did at least surprisingly well in their last game. I mean, it was against Mississippi Valley State, but they beat them by 65 points, 110 to 45. In all my years of keeping track of LSU basketball, I don't think we've ever dominated someone so thoroughly, even against somebody where we definitely should have. I mean, that's actually the fifth largest margin of victory in men's basketball history. So, I don't know. Maybe the Tigers do have something there. Again, remains to be seen. But other than that, I think we've covered enough, and we could probably leave it at just that. Got the LSU game tomorrow, as long as some others that'll already be in the books by the time the Tigers play. And yeah, college football playoffs. A lot to get into next week. Hopefully you'll all check back in with us and hear it, because it'll be a new year. But it'll definitely be the same Talking Tigs. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.